Marwyn Williams, Director of Delivery and Development, CDA, asking that there is a minute made at our board meeting of the approval of the workforce plan for this year. This, as you know, is a plan that we always build bottom up. It is owned and agreed by our clinical divisions and by the corporate directorates. But not only that, it goes to Chris as medical director and Janice as director of nursing on a regular basis, so that is updated and reviewed. This forms part of the plans that have gone to the TDA already for this year, and also to Henwell in terms of a staffing workforce plan going forward, particularly in terms of education. So there's nothing in here that we don't already know. This is much more about an approval needed by the TDA. Any questions? Yeah.
Jane, I understand about the letter and we're happy to approve this. However, I had just one question. You've got the tables which recommends how many staff we should have per division. I'm no expert and I don't know if that's right. So if in the future we could have some benchmarks as to what other comparable trusts are doing, then we'll know we are adequately staffed.
What I can say to you is that that is adequately staffed and it's within safe staffing levels, but I take your point and we can do that in future. Yeah.
Okay, Ian.
Thank you, Chairman. You'll recall at our last setting of board seminar, I brought forward the process from the tender evaluations. It had been through our executive committee and through our finance investment committee, but our process requires us to bring it to a public board session in order to ratify it. So the paper is represented on that basis.
Yes, we had a far more detailed paper which actually took into account all the risks that we had highlighted and the transition, given that the current contractor has to two-pay staff, and we were confident that that's being managed effectively. We will keep an eye on it, but we'd be happy to support.
Always. I can support everything.
Making it happen.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. So this is a paper and a presentation where we are asking the board to review and endorse the recommendations around the closure of the Hammersmith EU. I'm going to just give a sort of brief overview in terms of our state of readiness around that and ensure that the board has time to then ask questions, and I'll be running through these areas in terms of giving that assurance to the board. So firstly, really just to state the current state in terms of how our three emergency departments, emergency units are organised. I really, from this slide, just want to pull out the position around the Hammersmith emergency unit. So the Hammersmith emergency unit does not comply with the standards of a full emergency department. It is not staffed with emergency practitioners at consultant level and does not have emergency practitioner trainees associated with this department. So there are significant limitations in terms of what the Hammersmith emergency unit can actually provide in terms of its current arrangements. Just to give some sense around the anticipated activity flow, I think it's really important to pull out from this slide two key points. Firstly, that we do have a UCC already on this site. We're extending the availability of the UCC from its 12-hour position to a 24/7 UCC. So we are anticipating that the current levels of attendances of patients into the UCC will not only maintain current levels, but will also increase in terms of the provision that's available overnight. We are making plans to ensure that we are ready to accommodate the movement of patients who would otherwise then need to be treated in another emergency department, and we're focusing that effort on ensuring we have resilience at St Mary's. And you can see that we are anticipating up to 60 patients a day that would need to be treated at St Mary's against these sort of areas in terms of ambulance arrivals, walk-in patients or transfers from the UCC, with up to 13 admissions a day. And this is the upper level in terms of our areas of risk. We are anticipating, through a number of the measures that we're putting in place, that will be less than this, but we are planning for that level of activity that would need to be transferred in terms of patient attendances, particularly at St Mary's. What you'll also see is we're not only just focusing on St Mary's, but also focusing on our resilience at the Charing Cross Hospital site as well. Just very briefly, in terms of the drivers for change, you've already heard Tracy talk about the clinical strategy and some of the wider changes within the healthcare system. I'd like to really draw out the third bullet point on this particular slide. That last point is really key about the sort of clinical position within our emergency teams around the safety issues to do with the Hammersmith EU continuing. This is not a new issue. This has been an issue that we have needed to face for some time. The downgrading of the Hammersmith from an emergency department to an emergency unit happened a number of years ago, and the current staffing model is not with emergency department practitioners. It is with acute physicians, and we do not have emergency practitioners in terms of registrar and junior training numbers staffing the emergency unit. We have a high level of locum and agency staff needing to staff that in terms of the junior medical grades. Anything up to 40 to 60% of our cover at that junior medical staffing level is from locum and agencies, and we are not able to fill that rota safely and consistently going forward into the future. And hence why, from Imperial's perspective, focusing our emergency department efforts within the Charing Cross and St Mary's is absolutely a clinically led safety issue for us that we have been working towards. But just take us on to some of the governance arrangements around how we've been developing our plans around this. I think the key message from this slide is that there have been absolutely strong internal governance around executive and senior clinical leadership in terms of the planning for the Hammersmith EU closure and our preparations around that. And that is directly also linked in to the wider governance arrangements within the CCGs and within North NHS England, in terms of not only the Hammersmith EU closure, but also the implications for the closure at Central Middlesex. And the reason why we have moved towards the 10th of September is because that is when both of those units will close, and they will close at the same time, so we do not have an implication of additional activity of patient attendances either going to Central Middlesex or the Hammersmith EU if either of those units close independently. So we've had very strong governance, very strong clinical leadership over the period around these arrangements. I just want to touch on some of the new clinical pathways, again, that has had strong clinical leadership and drive within this organisation, and also working with our CCG colleagues and with GPs. So the new clinical pathways for the Hammersmith EU will be centred around maintaining the maintaining and strengthening the current clinical pathways around GP referrals directly into the Hammersmith hospitals, acute medical and medical bed base, and also ensuring that we can again continue and maintain the specialist referrals that currently come in to the Hammersmith into our range of specialist services, and that will include the heart attack centre, which will continue to receive the referrals directly from the London Ambulance Service that it does now, and with no changes around that, and equally no changes and in fact strengthening of the arrangements around our renal specialist referrals, haematology being two other areas. In terms of a little bit more detail around that, so to support that we've introduced a medical referral telephone service to act as a single point of referral. So across the whole of our organisation we can make sure that any GP referrals that require an urgent admission into one of our acute medical or specialist medical beds can be managed rapidly and effectively, and we can use our inpatient urgent and emergency capacity across all of our sites And so we're making sure that we are directing